gardens and our hands unto you as the evening sacrifice. Father, we ask that, Lord, as we go into your word, I humble myself, confessing my sins of omission and commission, stripping myself, Father, of every confidence that I might yet have in my preparation, and put all of my confidence in your mercy, that by your mercy you help me to be a faithful steward of your word today. Lord, just because I humble myself to receive sufficient grace to minister as an oracle of God, Lord, Lord Spirit, I set you at my right hand. As I preach today, you cause your word to go forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit, to do an internal and eternal work in our hearts and life, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to be more enlightened by revelation knowledge, our emotions to be further controlled by the power of Spirit. As your word goes forth, let it break through, let it meet needs, let it cause glory to God, name of yours, and blessings unto us, the sons of men. I also ask for help, Father, to redeem it, and not to say things that are necessary. My God, Father, Son, Lord, thank you for that which you do in our midst today. Blessed be your name. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 5. And we've been in this book for some time. And last time we were talking about widows. And I mentioned there in my studying in this particular chapter that Paul spends 14 verses talking about widows. You know, in that chapter, that shows you how important that aspect is to God's heart. And we spoke extensively about the responsibility of the church to widows, you know, and also the family of the widows to have responsibilities, and also the widows themselves also have responsibility. Like I said earlier, the last time we were talking about this aspect, that it's an unfortunate thing, it's not the best thing when we have widows in the church, but they do happen. But like Mommy said, God has our back. Not just, we are not talking about here for the body of Christ. God always makes a provision when things happen, you know, that are not, when things don't go the way they should go. But God always makes a provision. That's why he instructed his son, the spiritual son, Timothy. And he spoke to him about what he should do with widows, how to minister to them, and all these things. We spoke about them the last time. So I'll just mention them briefly now as we do a recap. Book of 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3. Paul was talking, says, honor widows that are widows indeed. That should tell you. When I was talking, why would he say honor widows that are widows indeed? That means that it is possible to have widows that are not widows indeed. Are you following me? So say, honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them do what? Learn first to show piety at home and to require their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. But like I said earlier, I repeat again, say that we should honor widows. So yeah, he was talking about Paul telling Timothy that you have a responsibility as a church to honor the widows that are amongst you. The widows indeed. Say, honor widows that are widows indeed. And we're going to be, I mentioned what makes somebody a widow indeed by from Paul's definition. But that's what happened in the inception of a church in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 6, verse 1. You see, they had a custom of ministering to widows. And you see, even now, we too should cultivate the same. We do it in this church, thank God. But we also should practice them as individuals of the members of the body of Christ to honor widows. I follow him. Acts 6, chapter 1, what does he say? He says that, you know, when the number of the disciples grew, they neglected some of the widows, you know, that were not Jews. That is Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Acts 6, chapter 6, verse 1. Okay. And in those days, when the number of disciples was what? Multiplied. There arose a what? Murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. Because what? Their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. That means it was the habit of the early church in those days to minister to widows, to provide for them, to support them. So when the Bible says honor widows, it's not talking about greeting them. He's talking about giving them. If you remember, the Bible talks about honor the Lord with your substance. He's talking about giving them, helping them to meet certain needs in their lives. Praise the Lord. So, also talked about the last time about the responsibilities of the family of widows themselves, which you see in verse 4. See that if a widow has children, you know, other children or grandchildren, but these children must be matured enough to be able to sustain and then to support the widows. Why? So he's trying to say, look, even though the church has a responsibility to minister to widows indeed, but it is not that the families of a widow, you know, or the children should just dump their mom or their mother on the church. Are you following me? So that they, like we say, that Charity begins at home. So God expects the family to also firstly minister to the widows amongst them. Praise the Lord. And also the widows themselves have responsibilities. Let's move on today. We're going to be talking about verses. We'll start from verse 5 today. Praise the Lord. So, like I said earlier, I said, is to support them both materially and financially. And Paul also mentions the characteristics of widows. We see that in verse 5. He says that she that is a widow indeed and is desolate, trusted in God and continued in what? Supplications and prayers night and day. Praise the Lord. Also mentioned in verse 10, just let's go there before we come back to verse 5. Talking about widows indeed, because it's important for us to know what the Bible means by widows. It says, well reported of good works. If she have what? Brought up children. If she have not, lodged strangers. If she have what? Washed the seats, the saints' feet. If she have what? Relieved the afflicted. If she have what? Diligently followed every good work. So you see, a widow is not necessarily a lazy person or somebody that is laid back. But you can see, say the widow is someone that is desolate, you know, apart from desolate means that maybe she doesn't have a means to sustain herself and things like that, you know. And then she must also trust in God. We'll look at that later. And then amongst continuing supplications and prayers night and day. And last time we spoke about Anna, who kept on fasting and praying, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And I mentioned the last time about an acronym that a man of God used the other day, you know, talking about, he said the word, he used the word sow, S-O-W, saying that you sow when you want to give. You give to strangers, orphans, and widows. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 24. I believe it's in verse 9. Thank you, Lord. Verse 19. Deuteronomy 24, verse 9. Because God really cares about widows and the less privileged, those that don't have people to sustain them, you know. And I'll lend my voice to the Form Fair of Lee Mercy Foundation, that is orphanage, that is coming up on Saturday. It's an avenue for us to give, because God gives us the promise, which I will read, Deuteronomy 24, verse 19. Are we there? Say, when thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast what? Forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not do what? Go again to fetch it. Why? It shall be for what? The stranger. Let's say the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. Let's say for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. The fatherless, there is orphan. That what? The Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thy hand. So he has a promise. Very important. You see, God does not just say things for saying, just for putting things in the Bible. He says, any time you harvest, in those days, they used to know that most of them were farmers. He said, leave certain things for strangers, orphans, and widows. Next verse. Say, when thou bittest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for what? The stranger, for the what? The fatherless, and for the widow. Again, next verse. When thou gatherest thy grapes, the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for what? The stranger. Let's look at the stranger. For the fatherless and for the widow. In the next verse. And thou shalt what? Remember that thou was a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore I what? Command thee. To what? To do this thing. Say, God has commanded us to do these things. To give to the what? The strangers, the orphans, and the widows. So God expects us to sow to them. That's where you get what? Sow from strangers, orphans, the fathers, and the widows. It is very, he says, go back to verse 19. I want to see something there. So we're not just doing it religiously. What is the verse 19? Verse 19, please. 24, 19. He says that when you give to them, say that what? The Lord thy God may what? Bless thee in all the work of thy hands. That should remind you of Deuteronomy chapter 28. Verse 12. So there's a promise that God has attached to this aspect. And if you do this, I will bless the work of the hand. Deuteronomy 28, verse 12. What does it say? The Lord shall do what? Open unto thee his good treasure. The heaven to give what? Rain unto thy land in its season, and to bless all the work of thy hands. And thou shalt lend unto many nations as shall borrow. So you can see that commandment there. When you give to strangers, Bible says, don't forget to entertain strangers. And you give to orphans. And you give to widows. God says, I will bless the work of our hands. Praise the Lord. So God wants to do what? He wants to bless the work of hands. Why? Because God cares for them. God really cares for these people that are less privileged. They know that. You know, because you see, if you look again, and God wants us also to have that same care, to be taught with the infirmities of those people. I follow them because they can easily be forgotten, like you spoke about it all the time, that, you know, you can easily neglect them. You know, but you see, we look at James chapter 1, verse 27. God gives another commandment there, which we need to practice. What does it say? James chapter 1, verse 27. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It says that pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. To do what? To visit. That's the word I want us to see there. To do what? To visit. When do we visit them? To visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. So God does not only expect, so when he says visit again, he's not saying just visit to say hello. You don't go there empty-handed. You go there, you pray for them, you encourage them, you know, you strengthen them. Why? Because it is very easy for their faith to fail at that time. So, and then apart from that, you know, then you now take something along. You minister to them to try and meet a need. You see, that is pure. You see, before God. But that's what means God looks at what we do. I will treat orphans and I will treat widows. It is very important to take note. And to keep himself unspotted from God. That will do that by using blood, word, and spirit to perfect the love of God. Praise the Lord. So you see, it is very important, like Paul says, visit them in their affliction. In that time that they are going through a difficult time, God expects us to go there. If you have to make the sacrifice, you know, to travel down, make sure you go. Don't just send a message. Go there, just sit down there, just talk to them, encourage them, you know, try and put a smile on their face. Praise the Lord. That's how the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26. That's in Amplified. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What does it say? Amplified. It says that if one member suffers, all what? The parts share what? The suffering. And if one member is honored, all the members share in the enjoyment of it. If somebody gets promoted today, or they make him the governor or something, the member of any church, people will go there if he does a party. Well, you see, God is saying, look, the first area you should consider is when people are going through particular suffering. You see, we are talking about widows here today, but not only widows. Somebody just lost his job, people are going through some difficult times, and you happen to know about it. Bible says that, look, you too, that suffering, what they are going through, because we are the same, we are members of the same body. If I have a problem in my toe today, I will be feeling pain. You see me, if you see me walking like this, you first say, why are you walking like this, Pastor Jay? It's because I have so and so. Because it will affect the entire body. That we need to be very sensitive. The lack of sensitivity to the pain that people go through that does not allow us to feel what they feel and then go about our own business as usual. Praise the Lord. So God wants us to also suffer with them. You know, not that we should partake of whatever they've gone through, but as you go there, help them, you know, comfort them and strengthen them. Praise the Lord. So, and I gave the example in our last lesson about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the last time we heard about Joseph was when Mary and Joseph went back to Pete Master at the age of 12. That was the last time the Bible mentions this. They said, I and your father have been looking for you. He said, I must go about my father. That was the last time. So we know we can deduce from scripture that for any time before just the Lord Jesus was 30, the Lord, his father must have, earthly father must have died. So, but what we know is that the next time we see him appear with Mary at the feast of Cana of Galilee, the mother says something. He said that whatever he tells you to do, do. Which is an indication that before that time, the master had always taken care of his mom. That's what it means. He was a carpenter. And then at the end of the day, when he was on the cross and he was nailed to the cross and was dying, he said something. He said, looked at John. He said, John, behold your mother. He said, mother, behold your son. That is, I know that only you can take care of my mom like I would. So, you see, he took care of his mom. That's the best example I can really think about. You know, in scripture, it's in John chapter 19, verse 26. Son, behold your mother. And mother, behold your son. Praise the Lord. So, today, let's go back to verse 5. You know, and we start talking about, I just mentioned again, the characteristics of a widow, indeed. He says that, are we there? He says, now, She that is a widow indeed. Always put that at the back of your mind. Because if you go further down, we're going to get there. He starts talking about some things that some widows were doing at that time that were not good. That is why I started talking about widows indeed. I follow him. He says, now she that is a widow indeed. And is what? Desolate. Say desolate. Secondly, is what? Trusted in God. And then finally, continued in supplications and prayers, night and day. Night and day. Desolate, deprived on your want. Trusted in God. Amplified says, fixed our hope in God. You see, the person that, God forbid, that goes through that kind of thing, has to actually depend on God for survival. To heal the heart, to do, you know, to meet every, you know, the Bible says that, I am the husband of the widow and the father of the fatherless. Praise the Lord. But the aspect I want to focus on that big God wants to talk about today is that aspect of continuing in supplications and prayers night and day. And last time I spoke about Anna, who kept on praying, who did not depart for the faith. But see, what I want us to see today is that it is not only widows that God wants to be to continue in supplications and prayers night and day. So don't switch off your antenna and say, okay, they are talking about widows, they should be praying night and day. I don't need to pray. No, everybody, every Christian, every saint, every church should pray what? With supplications and prayers night and day. The Bible talks about Jesus Christ, said, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and he was heard in that he feared. So every Christian, every saint, should continue, say continue, in prayer and supplication, night and day. So while I was studying, Lord showed me four things that we should continue in. We should continue firstly in faith. Say we should continue in faith. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. So it's not only widows, every Christian. What does it say? Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Say confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to what? To continue. Say, continue in the faith. And that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. That means if you don't continue in the faith, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So we say we continue in faith. The next thing continues, we continue in the word. Say, we continue in the word. John chapter 8, verse 31. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those disciples, which what? Believed on him. If you what? Continue in my word. Then are you my disciples indeed. So we have to continue in faith. We have to continue in the word. Both widows and every saint. Why? Because God still wants, referring to the widows, to be a disciple indeed. And every saint should, God wants us to continue in the word so we can become a disciple indeed. Praise the Lord. The third thing we have to continue in is we have to continue in the love of God. John chapter 15, verse 9. John chapter 15, verse 9. John 15, 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. So what does it say? Continue ye in my love. So we also have to continue. What that means, we have to keep on practicing. We don't start and stop. Start and stop. Are you following me? So the next thing and the last thing we should continue is, like we mentioned, and we should continue in prayer. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. We as Christians, in particular in this season, should continue. It's very important. Continue what? In prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So I was meditating. I discovered that it is this aspect of continuing the prayer and supplications that we're able to do or do the other things. If you don't continue in prayer and in supplications, you cannot continue in faith. You cannot continue. You can't even walk in love, and you can't continue in the word. Remember when the master told Peter, he said, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have what? Prayed for you that your faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy breast. That means if you don't pray, your faith will fail. Our faith will not fail in Jesus' name. So it takes supplications and prayers to continue in faith. It takes supplications and prayers night and day to continue in the word. It takes supplications and prayers to continue to walk in love. And it also takes prayer to pray. Because if you don't pray, you can't pray. You have to pray to pray. It sounds funny, but you see, if you don't pray, you can't pray. That is why we have 1 hour before when you come on Tuesday to pray. As the emphasis today is really that what God is telling us as a body is that we need to continue, especially in prayer. We are in a season in which God is bringing up this aspect of prayer again. You know, it is very, because why? Because we are very near. They're about to witness the manifestation of the sons of God. So you see, that aspect of supplication and prayer is what will help us to continue in faith, continue in the word, and continue to practice the love of God amongst ourselves. Praise the Lord. So we need to continue those three things. Like I said, it takes prayer to continue in the word. I mentioned Peter. And then this reminds me of an aspect that Pastor was sharing about last time, about the Philadelphian church. Revelation chapter 3 verse 7. He said, you have kept the word of my patience. You have not denied my name, my character, love. Therefore, I will keep you. You see, when he says you have kept, that word kept there means, it's not like they just did it once. That means they kept and they continue to keep it. So because you have done this, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation that shall come to try them that dwell upon the earth. So you see, it is also applies to us, like Pastor was sharing last night, that we should continue. Say continue. We need to continue. We need to continue in prayer, in supplications, and you know, and praying with all kinds of prayers. So that why? So that God can keep us from the hour of temptation. He says, you have kept the word of my patience. What is the word of his patience? James talked about it. It's not just any word. But say those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. He says, the followers of those. And Bible says in the book of James, he talks about the husbandman waited patiently for the precious fruit of the. So it's not just any word. It's that word that God has promised us that he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Let's just see that scripture. James chapter 5 verse 7. So it's not just the word of patience, just any word. But it's a reference to the manifestation of the Lord in his temple. James chapter 5 verse 7. Say, be patient therefore, brethren, unto what? The coming of the Lord. So the patience, the word of patience we are keeping is unto the coming of the Lord. Are you with me? Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath what? Long patience for it until he received the early and the latter. Next verse. What does he say? Be ye also, turn to your neighbor, be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. So we continue to keep the word of his patience. We don't deny his name. His name is a character, love. That may keep us from the hour of temptation that has come to drive them to dwell upon the earth. Praise the Lord. So, I put it here. I say, why do we have to continue? I mentioned Aaron. If we don't continue, we cannot be disciples indeed. Those that become disciples indeed, that will be first partakers of the first fruits of the manifestation of the glory of God. I'm getting a bit ahead of myself. When the master said, go and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. And some went, 500 people, the number dwindled to 120. Those that did not continue were not partakers of the first fruit. That will be our portion in Jesus' name. So we have to continue. Praise the Lord. So I said, that we may be disciples indeed, and thus inherit the kingdom and manifest his glory. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That you will what? Walk worthy of God, read together, that you what? Walk worthy of God, who at what? Called you unto his what? Kingdom and glory. That's our kingdom. That's our destiny, sorry. God has called us to inherit the kingdom. The dominion of the life of God. The dominion of righteousness, peace and joy goes over our spirit, souls and our bodies. And to manifest the glory. That is about calling. Praise the Lord. So it's as we continue in those things, those four things, especially in supplication and prayer, that we can attain unto that. Then the second aspect that I want to mention is that if we continue in prayer and supplications, it will help us to overcome the Antichrist spirit that's already in the world. It is going to take prayer like the master prayed to overcome the Antichrist spirit that's already in the world. Let's open our Bibles. 1 John chapter 2 verse 18, like Pastor was talking about in last Bible study. 1 John chapter 2 verse 18. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Little children, it is the last time. As you have heard that word, Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time. Notice something. The Antichrist people will come before the Christ comes. Are you following me? The deception has to come first. Try and deceive people. Next verse. And they went outward from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have what continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So the problem of those that were deceived or fell to this snare of the Antichrist spirit was because they did not continue with us. They did not continue to hold fast the word of patience. They started denying his name. So they were swept away by the spirit. That would not be a portion in Jesus' name. And the best example I have of somebody that continued, I already mentioned it. The Lord Jesus Christ took care of his mom. And then his mom also. Mary continued in prayers and supplications. Praise the Lord. We mentioned Anna last night. Let's have Mary today. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. The aspect of continuing is very important in this time we are in. You see, God will not say continue if there are things don't happen that will try and stop you from continuing. So, he said, these all continued with one accord in prayer, say in prayer, and supplication with the women. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, a widow. So you can see right there. Instead of when she stood at the cross that day and saw Jesus Christ die, she must have been discouraged, disappointed. Are you following me? But that is why the master committed him to John. Hey, look, mama, let's go to the upper room. You see, that is, she did not go back home, cover her head, begin to cry and say, well, oh God, why have you allowed this to happen to me? Because you see, Mary did not fully understand what's going on. She didn't understand. She was honest. But you know, she didn't understand. All of them thought that something would happen, would deliver Israel from Romans and all that. So she didn't understand. But see, that disciple that understood must have took her along. But let's go to the upper room. So he must have taken out of courage for her to overcome that what happened. Joseph had died. The one that was so called the breadwinner at that time too had just died. A painful death. But she went to the upper room and she did what? She continued what? In prayer and supplication. Praise the Lord. And in Acts chapter 2, we see what happened on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Because she continued. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with what? One accord in one place. Next verse. And what says, suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting, including Mary. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, including Mary the widow. Praise the Lord. So it's very, very, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave us. So we all ought to continue. Say, we all ought to continue. In whatever situation you find yourself, don't let it hinder you from continuing, especially in prayer and supplications, night and day. Because that is the key to stay in faith till you realize the promise. Praise the Lord. So I said something that I put in my mind. I said, not to continue in prayer and supplications will lead to the next verse. What does the next verse say? Let's go to verse 6. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Put it in Amplified. But she, okay, whereas she who lives in pleasure and self gratification, giving herself up to luxury and self-indulgence, is what? Dead while she liveth. You see, if anybody, doesn't have to be a widow, any Christian, that does not continue in prayer and supplication, will fall into this trap. That's why he said, a widow indeed will be doing these things. The most important thing for that widow indeed to do at that time is to what? Continue in prayers and supplication. The important thing for you and I to do is to continue in prayers and supplications night and day. Doesn't leave any time. Satan does not go to bed. So it says, verse 6 now says that, whereas who lives in pleasure, whoever falls into this trap will not fall into this, means that the person did not continue in prayers and supplications night and day. And self-gratification, giving herself up to luxury and self-indulgence, is dead while she still lives. Person is still coming to church as a Christian, but person is dead just on a life support. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. But what I want to hold on to is that we should continue in supplications and prayers night and day. Praise the Lord. So I put it here. I said pleasure, those two words, I want to say pleasure and is dead. This talks about living after the dictates of the flesh. You see, Christianity is not just determining not to do the wrong thing. It takes spiritual power in the place of prayer. Not just any kind of prayer. Praying with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers, supplications, strong crying, and tears unto him that was able to save him from falling into the snare of riches of this world. Praise the Lord. Romans 8:13. Please amplify it. Romans 8:13. Let's see. It paints a clear picture of what we're talking about. Thank you, Lord. Are we there? It says, for if you, Christian, live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. But if you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually put into death. Say habitually. Put into death. Making extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever. We're not going to die in Jesus' name. Like Pastor will say, you know, a warning is not a curse. So God is showing us the way of escape. Get into prayers and supplications night and day. Just come to my mention it and move on. Some time ago, I was just reading my Bible in the morning, and I happened to happen, I think it's in Proverbs 24, where it says that I went by the field of a slothful, and I saw that the vineyard, the stone wall was, please put on the board. He said the stone wall was broken down. He said, and I considered, and I saw a little sleep, a little slumber, a little falling has to sleep. You know, so shall your poverty come. That poverty, spiritual poverty, will not come to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Are we there? I think it's in Proverbs. Proverbs 24. Please just put it there. 33. Proverbs 24 says 33, 24, 33. Let's read together. Because that's why I say praying night and day. See, move up a bit. He said, I went by the field of the slothful. You know, move up. 30 or so. Says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man that is void of understanding. So he's talking about your soul here. Also applies to the church. And lo, say lo. It was all what? Grown over with thorns. And nettles are covered the face thereof. You see, when he's talking about your heart. Part of his word. Because the fruit of the spirit is supposed to come from your soul. Your will, your mind, you know the fruit. You know, the apostle, love, joy, peace, long suffering. Says, and nettles are covered the face thereof. That's not the problem. And the stone wall was therefore was broken down. That speaks of revelation, we all know. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles are covered it. And the face, okay, then I saw, and also considered it well, and I looked upon it, and I received what instruction? What is that instruction? We need to pray. Next verse. Yet, a little, binting. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth and like one as an armed man. But don't be afraid. God says a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall. You know what God told me? He just spoke to me that when I read that scripture. He said, no, why are you disturbing yourself? He says, those little things that you don't do, little foxes that. That's Paul. So he took me to Isaiah 28. He said, with stammering lips and another tongue, that least speak. Say, there a little. Put it in Isaiah 28. The antidote for overcoming spiritual poverty or slothfulness is those little prayers. Now, say, with stammering lips and another tongue, will he speak to these people? Move it up. That's why I say, here a little. There's a precept. Let's go. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line, line upon line. Now say together, here a little, and there a little. So instead of you and I sleeping a little, you know, here a little, you turn it around. So Lord, little prayers that you pray, says here a little, there a little. So you pray in tongues. This frequent prayer, pastor, to washing of feet. So you are moving from here to that place. Pastor says, Pastor, go and call Pastor Andrew for me before I move from here to here. So instead of me to sleep, so anytime you're sleeping is when you're not aware, you're not walking in the spirit. That's what we're talking about. So instead of me to sleep spiritually from here to there, I just pray in tongues. Father, I confess my sins. Just my Father, fill up love, joy, peace, pray in tongues. So if you keep doing that daily, you cannot become poor spiritually. Are you following me? So you see, that's how your vineyard will bring forth fruit, your soul. Praise the Lord. So let's continue. Let's go back to widows. God have mercy on me. So I said, yeah, let's look at the example. He said, that person that practices that kind of thing, lives in pleasures, is dead while she lived. This speaks of the church in Sardis, Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Thank you, Lord. Are we there? It says, and unto the angel of a church in Sardis. So it's not talking about an individual alone or widows. It applies to heaven, but I want us to see. Write these things, yet he that had the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest, and thou art dead. Here a little, there a little. Now, boy, encourage them. Now, verse 2. What does it say? Say, but be watchful. Watch and pray always. And strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect or complete, like Pastor taught us. So it takes watching and praying. Here a little, there a little. Are you following me? To strengthen what remains, or to increase in strength, spiritually speaking, when you pray. But I told Peter, he said, I pray for you that our faith will not fail. But when you are converted, strengthen. So strength comes from the place of prayer. Praise the Lord. So let's look at, this also speaks of a thorny heart. I mentioned in passing, Luke chapter 8, verse 14. You see, because we are in that season in which there's so much pleasure, things that happen around us. And we say, and that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares. Say cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Put it in the Message Bible. Message Bible. And the seed that fell in the weeds, well, these are the ones who hear. But then the seed is crowded. Say crowded. Amplified says suffocate. But then the seed is crowded out and nothing comes of it as they go about their lives. Say worrying about tomorrow, making what? Money, and having fun. You see, it happens all the time. They have kept it to the church. There's nothing the body of Christ will do most places that we can make noise. I'm telling you. But as you say in those days, Aria has no end. Aria is unlimited. It's crapping the church. So the Bible is warning us. It says that, look, be careful. So that these things, these pleasures of this time, does not come in and choke the word. And Paul says, suffocate. And this is one of the symptoms of the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. That's why we need to be careful. Now, I'm talking today about continuing, especially in prayer. Prayer is what ties those things together. Say, this know also that in the last days, perilous time shall come. Move on to verse 4. 4. For traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of what? Pleasures, mourners, lovers of God. Next verse. Says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such, turn away. But what I'm trying want us to see is this. You see, the root cause of this problem you see in verse 6 is because they did not continue in prayers and supplications night and day. We'll continue in prayers and supplications night and day. Praise the Lord. So now let's move to verse 7. So Paul begins to talk to Timothy again. He says that, and these things give in charge that they may be blameless. To charge is to command. Give the people a mandate. So he said, these things, give them this charge. Who? The widows, the family of the widows, and the church itself. Why? So that though they may be blameless. So was given an instruction, an admonition to the entire body. So he said, why? So that they be blameless, that the children of widows will be blameless. They will say, ah, how come you didn't take care of your mom and see what she's doing? And then we know the people know the brother people not blaspheme. Praise the Lord. So I said, I put it here. I will soon stop by grace of God. I said, so why? He said, so that they may be blameless. And the Bible says, without reproach and blameless. Why is this so? Because you see, if we do not play our part in the support of widows, orphans, and strangers, under pressure, they may yield to their flesh and unto unrighteousness. That's why it's very, very dangerous. You can't say it doesn't concern me. After I said, if one member suffers, all of us are suffering together. If people don't pick up these orphans, what do you think they will become in the future? when there is no father or mother to take care of them. That's why I say, dude, give them this charge. Talk to the church. Take care of, we're talking about widows today, but it applies to orphans also. So that you may be blameless. That people will not bring reproach to the body of Christ. Because under pressure, financial pressure, people will do, even people that are not in affliction, under pressure they misbehave. Talk less of them that are under affliction, under pressure. So why? It says because we have to play our part. Philippians chapter 2 verse 15. Philippians 2 15 and Amplified. It makes it very clear. That you may be what? That you may show yourself to be blameless and guileless, innocent and uncontaminated children of God, without what? Blemish, faultless, unrebukable, in the midst of a crooked and wicked generation, spiritually perverted and perverse, among whom you are seen as bright lights, stars to beacons, stars or beacons, shining out clearly in the dark world. So by our conduct to ministering to those that are afflicted, not just widows now, in our midst, not just here, in anybody you see. You see, you will help them. So when people like the body of Christ, they will not be able to point a finger of reproach and say, ah, it's a Christian, look at what she's doing. It's a Christian, look at what he's doing. I heard that the person did so and so and so in the office, stole money. I'm not saying it's good to steal. I'm not excusing people for doing that. But because we neglect what we are supposed to do, and we don't support them, are you following me? Or this is what makes some people leave churches. You just find out that they say they don't love me. I'm not saying it's the right reason to leave a church. But you see, I'm saying we all have to play our part. Thank God for this house. We have the marital visitation. We have the orphanage. Things have been put in place to make sure that these things don't happen. Praise the Lord. Verse 8 in Amplified, as we begin to round up. Verse 8 in Amplified of, it says, but if anyone fails to provide for his wedding, so he's talking in tongue text with videos. You get my, it applies generally also. Said, if anyone fails to provide for his relatives and especially for those of his own family, he has what? Disowned the faith. For what? Failing to accompany it with fruit. The end of the commandment is love out of pure heart. And is worse than an unbeliever. KJV says, infidel, who performs his obligations. He says he has denied the faith. In 2 Corinthians, he says he's worse than an infidel. Why? Because unbelievers that don't have eternal life naturally care for their own. Yes, you see all this of the other religion. They will, when they're having their festival, they will kill this and then they'll just come and eat free of charge. Yes. Yes. So if you have a Christian who is born again, talking in tongues, and neglects those that are afflicted, I find myself saying it's worse than an infidel. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. So let's, verse 9. I want to know, I'll stop in 12 now. In 10, verse 9. So Paul now tells him again, put in Amplified. He says, let no one be put on the roll of widows who are to receive church support. Say church support. Who is under 60 years of age or who has been the wife of more than one man. I won't say this as a law. But that was what was prevalent at that time. It's okay. Because you see, they had a custom, I believe. You read Father Amplified. It says that some of them would go back from their pledge. Widows usually in those days would take up responsibility of ministering in the synagogue. That's why you see Anna. But see, they come, they make a pledge that okay, I'm going to serve God for the rest of my life and all that. So people began to say, look, some of them after some time, he said, don't take anybody that's under 60 years as a widow. It's a widow, but don't let the church take that responsibility. Later on, it talks about it. Say because they will soon go and marry again. It's not wrong to marry. To remind, that's what I'm saying. But saying that, look, those that come to make that pledge to God, I'm going to serve God for the rest of my life, like Anna did. That's what Anna did. You know, after some, if you are not elderly, you see later on, they will not be able to keep those vows. Praise the Lord. And it says that they must be over the age of 60 and the husband of one man. Praise the Lord. Verse 10. Husband of one wife. I bind the devil. Wife of one man. I beg. Please don't twist that. And verse 10. What does it say? As we stop. And she must have a what? reputation for good deeds, as one who has brought up children, who has practiced hospitality toward strangers of the brotherhood, wash the feet of the saints. That was a custom in those days to wash feet. Help to relieve the distressed, and devoted herself diligently to doing good in every way. So here we are. Wherever we were, a widow is not somebody that is just laid back, you know, but it's somebody that takes the bulls by the horns, that does not allow whatever has happened to hold them back. But the starting point of what God wants us to understand today, we start by continuing supplications and prayer night and day. That's what you push back the sorrow, the pain. As you now do that, that's why the Bible says that when you pray in Romans, it says God now causes all things to work together for good. And the best example that I give is Mary. As you continue prayers and supplication night and day, God caused that situation to work together for our good. And so she was a partaker of the first fruits when the glory manifested. Praise the Lord. I believe that's why I'll stop today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's talk to God as we stand upon our feet and pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's talk to God. We've been doing this in the house corporately. The fathers have, like I mentioned that time, they practice this. But God is just exhorting us once again that we need to increase, especially this aspect of continuing in prayers and supplications night and day. That is the key that helps us to walk by faith, that helps us to walk in love, that helps us to keep His word of patience and not deny His name. Praise the Lord. Let's talk to the Holy Spirit. This song is in my heart. When we lift up our hands,
when we lift up our hands, it is an offering to you. And in liberty we worship and we pray. When we lift up our hands, it is an offering to you, and in liberty we worship and we pray. You desire, Father, you desire, you desire the lifting of our hands to you. You desire, Father, you
Father, we confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness, blocking our right standing with God. In Jesus' name we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me of my responsibilities as a member of the body of Christ to comfort, strengthen, and support those that are afflicted, especially the fatherless and the widows. I also thank you for reminding me in this season to continue in faith, in the word, in love, and also in prayers and supplications night and day, till I become a disciple indeed and a partaker of the first fruits of the manifestation of your glory. Father, I thank you for your mercies. Lord, just thank you for your grace. Holy Spirit, thank you for your love and help. In Jesus' name, let's pray in tongues. In Jesus' name.